Hi, this is Fabi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are Latinos Who Lunch. The podcast where we talk about important things like
supercalifragilisticoespiralidoso, aunque al oír decirlo suene enredoso, quien lo dice con fluidez se muestra talentoso, supercalifragilisticoespiralidoso.
Hello, hello, hello.
Good show, good show, good show.
Top of the morning to ya.
Top, yes.
What's going on?
I don't know. I don't know.
Top, yes.
Yes, definitely.
Where's that? Where's that from? What region of the world is that saying from?
You know, from down under.
Top, yes. How are you? What are you up to? How's it going? What are the cool kids doing? What's the 411?
The 411 is that nature gets wilder and wilder every day. I just saw una ardilla robándose una pumpkin and just rolling it down my yard. That's how exciting my life is. What's going on with you?
Oh, you know, just here, trying to live my best life. You know, I don't think I've talked about it on the show before, but you know how I eat the same thing all the time. I've never been like a coffee drinker at home, you know, just more. I only drink coffee socially, if you know what I mean. But I still like to drink. I don't know. Just drinking water in the morning is so boring, you know, but it's like every workout person or every like health person like drink 3 gallons of water when you wake up, and you're like, well, how the fuck? I even want to like
but you have to, man. Like, I mean, not
you don't have to, but you should drink water, not a whole gallon. But I do love, my new favorite thing, and I've been doing it for a while, is to drink water with chlorophyll in it in the morning,
because
I just feel like Popeye, man. I feel like Popeye when I drink it. It just like gives me so much energy and really gets my metabolism going, if you know what I mean. And so I dare say that I recommend it for people, because it makes me feel better. Because with coffee, don't you crash with coffee? I feel like I crash all the time with coffee.
Pero por eso me lo tomo todo el día. Which is not good. But like, I seriously, especially since the pandemic started, I've been drinking like 4 to 6 cups a day, which is terrible, because it's not only just coffee. You're also putting all that fucking sugar and all that cream, you know?
Yeah.
So,
but you know what, girl? If that's your vice, God bless you. You're lucky. You know what I mean?
True, 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 true.
Yeah, and I know, so, it's not, but
I've actually cut down on my cigarette intake. I used to smoke like up to 5 cigarettes a night, and it's down to 1. And sometimes I do half of 1.
That many?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Like, again, I was doing like 3-4 years, and then como eso que te diré, like starting again and during the quarantine, I was just like, I had, you know, now in retrospect, I was a lot more stressed and anxious than I realized, because I wasn't sleeping and I was smoking like up to 5 cigarettes. I will wake up at 4 a.m. just smoking, and I'm down to 1. Aquí estoy relajado con los pajaritos y los conejitos, man. Like, and there's a thing, like when you go through certain things, you don't realize that you're going through it. And like that shit manifests in different ways. Like, I remember for years, I'm going to say for at least 4 years, between fucked up shit that happened and like writing my dissertation, I used to have shooting pains in my tooth. Pero like, así se sentían bien cabrones, güey. Hasta que hasta se me doblaban las pinches rodillas. Like, it was like so strong. And then it stopped. And I remember I went to the dentist, and my dentist, shout out to Monica and Juarez. She's like, no tienes nada, güey. He said, you don't have anything. You just must be, are you stressed? I'm like, yeah, I guess. And I thought, and you know, like
fast forward to you last month at the hospital with your tooth.
Y ese era otro, ese es el pedo, güey. That was a completely different tooth. That's how crazy your brain works.
Okay. Different tooth. Okay, got it.
But I know, wait, you do, yes, it's okay to have like little vices, pero ya estamos viejos, güey, and that shit is gonna start like, you know, like te empieza a afectar, güey, más y más y más.
I know, and you know, I mean, you met me when I was like chain smoking, and it just happened overnight one day. I was just like smoking, and I was like, why am I doing this? This is so fucking stupid. It tastes awful. It makes my breath stink. It makes my blood pressure go up. It's like, it stinks, first of all. Like, I have to do it in secret. This is so fucking stupid. Why am I doing this to myself? I haven't really smoked, like, since, like, quarantine, I don't think.
Hijo su madre. That was good. Congratulations. That's really good.
I know. Can you tell my voice?
Yeah, it's so clear.
It's so free. I was so just free and light. That. I'm not like, hello.
Y sabes también lo que pasa cuando fumas mucho?
What?
You kill your papilas degustativas, like your taste buds.
So what did you call me? Yeah.
And like, you end up, like, nada te sabe rico except the sweet stuff, because sugar, it's always... Like, I don't know, something happens that you can still taste it. So, like, if you notice people that smoke a lot, they love sweets because it's really the only thing that,
or
like...
salt.
Yeah, that's the only thing that really... ¿Cómo se llama? Like, they can taste because you just kill that shit. So, when I heard that, I was like, I don't want to lose my taste for food. That is one of the few pleasures in life.
Girl, wait. So, speaking of, I recently heard this report. I think it was the Washington Post that a lot of people that... Okay, let me just be straight up because I know a lot of you hoes listening pretend that you're about it, but you're not about it. But, like, we've all been, like, socially distancing now for over 6 months, and people are getting more loose with their restrictions state by state. A lot of people aren't taking things seriously. And as for me and my friends, we're still very strict about it. For example, I'm going camping this weekend and we're all getting COVID tested before, getting the results. And then if everybody passes, we're all going to go and we can go live our fantasy without our mask on in the middle of Utah somewhere, right?
So, our Dora the Exploradora fantasy.
Exactly. But there's a lot of people with the mentality... People that I know, they're like, oh, it's okay. It's just it's just like the flu, whatever. I'm really strong. I'm going to recover. It's okay. Wada wada la cuchara. One of my uncles said, you know, con el poder de Dios, me and my family. And I'm like, oh my God, con el poder de Dios, fuck you, you know? So fuck off, leave me alone. So the point I'm trying to make is, yeah, you can actually be... you know, have mild symptoms, get COVID, work through it, you know, like at home, you know, bed rest. You might have a little bit of difficulty breathing, but, you know, you can recover. But I think a low percentage of people, low but significant percentage of people, and I don't know how much because facts don't matter anymore. So
nope.
Who cares? But... are losing their sense of smell and taste after COVID and not regaining it.
No.
So I had this gig scheduled to do it in Indianapolis in January. And I was like, fuck it, I'm going to go. I'll just put a mask on and figure it out. And after I heard that report, you better believe I emailed them back and said, hey, I heard Indiana was acting a fool during COVIDina times. And I don't feel comfortable flying there anymore. Let's figure something else out because, you know, dying would really suck or killing somebody would really suck during COVID times. But you know what I'm really worried about is living on this earth and losing my sense of taste and smell for the rest of my life.
Exactly.
Lord, just take me if that's the case, okay?
Ya entrégate, ya me entrego. Porfa.
Okay, entrégate a Jehová because, bitch, the second coming cannot come soon enough. Get all you fucking Christians out of here so we can all live in fucking peace and I can eat my fucking food, okay? With a fucking mask on when I go to Target. That's it. That's it. Wepa, wepa. But listen, I think that would be the worst thing. And I'm sorry if you have a medical condition and you cannot smell and taste things. I'm sure it's a blessing in some cases, honestly. But for me, right now, in this moment, that's my feelings about it. It's my opinion! Okay. Have you eaten anything fun lately, Babs?
Yes. Guess what, Mimi? I learned how to make discada in my house.
Discada, girl! Tell me.
But unlike other times, I'm not going to give the recipe. It's too close to the family. All I'm going to say is, I'll give you the ingredients, pero no te digo cómo va, cómo
las que le pones. What's the secret ingredient?
Fíjate que en Juárez they put everything. They put like jamón, bologna, weenie, salchichón, y todo el pedo.
Very pero, secret ingredients.
Yes. Good, good. Exclusive to the border. Pero no, ours has tocino, carne, chorizo, chile, tomate, cebolla, spices, and you also put beer, light beer, and tequila.
Ooh.
And you simmer the fuck out of it for hours. And I have like a wok. So I was like, that's la, el disco.
A wok.
Esa madre. Este, like,
stay woke.
Stay wok.
Waka waka Africa.
So I was like, fuck it. Like, I think the disco is an evolution from the wok. So I did it and I simmer it for hours and hours and hours and hours. And it turned out so, so good. So I have leftover discada con huevos because, you know, I cannot have. Cannot live a morning without aguacates. Do you know, I just find out that the Nahuatl word for testicles was aguacates. I don't know why we say huevos, con huevos. Everything is con huevos. We should start saying con aguacates. ¿Cómo se dice cuando you do a message, a paid message? That's my advertising for the day. Thank you very much.
A sponsored ad.
A sponsored ad.
Sponsored content.
Brought to you by the Aztecs.
Thank you so much.
¿Y tú qué comiste?
As I told you in a previous episode, I have a new roommate. It's my roommate Bobby's grandmother moved in with us. And she is from a different time. And a different socioeconomic background than I. And so what I'm saying is that she's white. It's been
from
awesome.
A different era.
It's been awesome because I love comfort food, and that's what she's delivering. She made a pork roast yesterday with chiles verdes and green.
Pero like, ¿qué tipo de chile? Jalapeño.
Peppers. You better believe those chiles are unidentified because they came out of a can. And
no.
But girl, I made some rice and poured it over, and it was delectable. Okay, and today she is making chicken and dumplings. I think, or chicken dumplings. I don't know. I've never had those things. I don't know what they are. But there's a pot of chicken boiling, and I am happy to report that I saw her putting seasonings in the pot, so I'm very excited. One of those being garlic salt. You mentioned on the last podcast your mom, you know, you're experimenting with spices.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot to tell you, the two seasonings in my house always were garlic salt and Lowry's. That's it. That was like my mom's go too, and then whatever bouillon, you know, like beef or pork or veggie, whatever, always. Oh, and sal, and that's it. I feel like my mom, she flavored her food, her caldos and her food mostly with fresh ingredients, you know. Of course, with like pozole and all that shit, you have all the oregano and the chiles and all that when she would make that, but like just for regular everyday, it was just like sal and garlic salt and Lowry's. That's it.
Yeah, sal de ajo is a staple in my kitchen too. Yeah, you must. Are we gonna continue this listening letters journey?
Oh my God. Thank you for cutting me off, because we got to get to them right away. Let's take a break and let's try to do more than one email. Wait, our record is two emails. We did two emails.
We can do three. We can do three.
Let's try to do three. Let's do it. All right, let's take a break. OMG, Babalito. You know what?
Okay, show.
I gotta tell you, there's so many great Latin X, Latin E, Latin Al podcasts out there right now. And one of them is this pod called 70 Million. You can go to 70millionpod.com or search 70 Million in your podcast app to check it out. You know, Black Americans have borne the burden of criminal justice reform, but it's become increasingly clear that criminal justice reform is a Latinx issue as well. And what we mean that, we know that Latinx Black people exist, but if you look at the history here in the United States, when it comes to civil rights movements that benefit all minorities, all people of color, guess who's on the front lines? Black folks, people, right? And it's time to step your pussies up, America, especially all you white Latinos that are listening to this show.
That's right.
Oh, God.
As we go into the next listener letters. Anyway,
I know.
This is a really important documentary podcast, and they investigate how locals are addressing the role of jails in their backyards. This is really important. And that actually is a podcast that was produced. It's from the same producers as Latina to Latina podcast. And this one chronicles how communities, again, are taking action and addressing criminal justice reform in their hoods.
Yes. Tune in each week this fall for an in-depth look at how ICE detention not only mirrors the U.S. prison system, but in many places, ICE is now contracting for-profit private detention companies to hold refugees and people seeking asylum. La migra, la policía, la misma porquería.
You know, in my class, we talked about how there are spaces out in the world, and how when like big institutions like the government or the church or whatever intervene, they become control places. Mm-hmm. And we make this comparison between jails and schools, because the structure of schools, for instance, are very similar to the structures of jails. So since you go to school as a kid, you're being trained to normalize this type of spaces. And this is the
Girl,
type of stuff. Yeah.
They just built a new school on the east side, and uh-huh. I thought it was a jail. I said, did they just build a detention center, like, in my neighborhood? It's a school.
Yeah. See,
the schools are literally modeled after prisons here in the state of Nevada. So literally from the design of the school, to from the architecture to the curriculum. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, so you grew up normalizing in this type of institutions. And this show gets right into the heart of that, of the social upheaval that we're experiencing, and how communities all over the U.S. are actually taking action.
That's right. Listen now at 70millionpod.com or search for 70 Million in your podcast app. That's 70, the number 70. millionpod.com. And we're back.
That's it. Okay. Let's do this.
Please send your emails to asklwlpod@gmail.com and feel free to send us a voice memo. You know what? I just realized I got a new phone, so mm-hmm. I forgot to download the voicemail app for Google. Okay. So if you've been leaving voicemails, next time. But our number is 512-333-0471. That's 512-333-0471. And we might play it on another show, okay? Let's get into it, Babs.
So let's do this. Let's start with our favorite listener lettered person from Asia.
From Tokyo. How do you say Tokyo? How do you say someone from Tokyo in Spanish?
Tokyo. I think it's the same word.
Tokyonidense? Nope. Okay.
Tokyonse.
Tokyonse. All right, Mari, what you got? What's the category this time?
The category is secreto amor slash Que vergüenza, entre paréntesis, guilty pleasures. So
here
let's do this.
We go.
What are your guilty pleasures most embarrassing likes? Rebelde, La Macarena. Let's start with food. What is your weirdest food combo?
Ooh, my weirdest food combo. I don't think it's that weird, but I still do. I don't want to say used to. I'm trying to curb my ranch addiction.
Mm-hmm.
But I love ranch with almost everything. You know what? I haven't tried ranch with Taco Bell. That's probably really disgusting.
Oh, no, that sounds amazing.
But I would probably love it. Oh, Lord. But that's not... I feel like everybody, especially on the West Coast, like... People eat pizza with ranch. They eat fries with ranch, you know? Like, it's kind of normalized. But something guilty, something that I truly am embarrassed to share, which, like, I don't know, doing the show, I, like, lost all my shame for everything. let me think about this. Do you have something that comes to mind, Babs?
Ay, pues ya te la sabes. Anything with bologna.
But are you ashamed of that? Is that a guilty pleasure?
Ah, okay. A shame of.
Not a shame, but do you feel guilty when you eat that? Maybe you do.
Absolutely. And I still buy it. And actually, I took action yesterday. I bought ham. I was like, I had the ham on one side, in one hand, and I had the bologna on the other hand. And I was like, bologna, you're going to have to wait another paycheck. I'm going to go with ham. And I bought ham, and I bought, like, free range, natural, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada.
Oh, nitrate free?
All of the free. All
what?
Of the American, I got
I'm
it.
I'm shocked.
And it's que, because I'm really going hardcore with my fitness, and I'm hungry all day, and I need to just eat protein. And I know that eating meat is not the best choice, but, like, I crave carnes frías. That's all I want to eat all day. So my go-to is fucking una tortilla con bologna. Ya te la sabes. Pero that's not good. Like, I cannot be eating like a package of fucking bologna a week. So I'm starting to change it. So it is a little embarrassing, but I still love it. But it's like you with ranch. Like, you enjoy it. It's a little embarrassing, but you still do it, you know?
You know something that I felt guilty about? I did it for like the last 2 weeks. I stopped doing it this week. I started eating in bed like a fucking lunatic.
No, güey, las hormigas. Mm-mm-mm.
I know, but I would just like put on my episode of Survivor, get my ice cream, and like, you know, I'm a textures girl. So like, I like to get my ice cream and like get some chocolate and cut it up in there and some nuts and get my, oh my God, sprouts. Do they have sprouts everywhere, or is that just a West Coast thing?
I think it's I think it's just a West Coast. I don't think they're in Chicago.
Sprouts, it has they have a soy based ice cream, dairy free, and they have one now that's cookie dough / caramel, and it's so bomb. I love it. And so, because I was buying the Ben and Jerry's one, but those, I could tell, those were shortening my lifespan with every bite. So I'm like, I got to switch it up. But
Cherry Garcia.
I was eating ice cream in bed, and I was, you know, maybe an edible and a half in one day, and maybe I didn't have time or energy to get up to, like, put the ice cream back in the freezer, and... In the morning, it was just not a good look. Okay, so that was bad. But you know,
how about not so much what you eat, but how you eat it? Like, do you have any like eccentricities?
I actually hate eating. This is something that my mom and I actually share. This, my mom and I are. We're binge eaters, and we're like, I get it all from my mom. I'm sorry to call you out, mom, but like, I emotionally eat. So like, if I'm trying to curb that, I don't do it as much anymore. But like, if I'm really stressed out, If you want to celebrate, if you are mad, if you are you, I just like just put food in my mouth, right? And so, I eat like a fucking animal, and if I'm comfortable with you, I will just eat like an animal in front of you and not know that I'm doing it. Because I have to, like, when I'm in public, I have to consciously be like, okay, there's people here. Chew your food with your mouth closed. You know, like,
yeah.
Because, and I eat slow. So I eat gross, but I also eat slow, which is weird. Anyway, this is all shit that I'm working out in therapy, girl. Okay. But I can really relate to a lot of, there's a lot of people like from El Rancho or like from people that are not from cities or I remember mi abuelita, que descanse en paz, mi bisabuela, mi abuelita Leonor, who she never felt comfortable using knives and forks and spoons and stuff because she's from El Rancho. She just ate with, she's from a little pueblo, tortillas. You know, so she just ate with tortillas. So she would always eat in secret. And I could relate to her. And I would always be like, girl, I eat like an animal too. Let's eat together. Who cares? But I think that's, if you're my friend and I have, and you have, and I've eaten with you and you're looking at me with disgust in your eyes while I'm eating, just know that I have 100% trust in you. And that's why I'm eating like that in front of you. You know what I mean?
Pero like, you don't like, a lo que me refiero is like more like pet peeves. Like I will share my food. Yo te la regalo si quieres.
Oh, bitch. Pero, don't touch my food. Don't even look at my food. Don't look in my direction. Girl, my fucking Crystal. Shout out to my roommate, Crystal. Oh, she's in Stanford now. She's not my roommate anymore, but whatever. We like to enable each other, me and my friend. So whenever I go to Taco Bell or like go, you know, go to McDonald's or something, like, because me and Crystal, we're like chicken nugget. We love chicken nuggets.
Okay? Fanatics.
Fanatic. When Crystal's home and I just want to be like fun, I'd be like, hey, I'm coming home. You want me to pick up some nuggets, you know? She's like, yeah, but I only want, I just want a couple, you know? And I'm like, okay, got you. Guess what? I order her a whole 10 piece and her own fucking fries. And sometimes she doesn't, she just eats two nuggets, but sometimes she's like, oh, can I have some fries? And I'll just be like, yeah, here you go. I got these for you. And sometimes she doesn't ask, but I just have them as backup just in case, because it makes my fucking blood boil when people are like, can I have a bite? Can I take? No. And that comes from growing up poor, okay? It's my fucking food. Don't fucking touch it.
Like, I don't mind sharing. What I fucking hate, and that's from everybody in my life, is when they reach out to your plate. Se sienten con toda la pinche confianza del mundo, and they reach out to your plate and they take a bite. They're like, oh, never. Yeah, yeah, guara, la cuchara, guara, la cuchara, boom, boom, boom. They take a fry. I'm just like, no, I'm sorry. Like, boundaries, this cannot happen. But if you're like, hi, can I have 10 fries? Here, I'll give you 20. Thank you so much for asking. I appreciate your concern and your attention. Like,
listen, before I was rich and I could just buy an extra fry just in case.
Very rich, bitch.
Crystal would do this thing where she would just like put her hand on the table and slowly move it towards the fries just to set me off. And then it would just be like her index finger and her thumb like reaching for a fry. And I'd be like, just fucking take it, bitch. What are you doing? But when we're at a restaurant and stuff, and we're all getting different food, I love sharing my food.
Right.
Just tell me, like, oh, hey. But the worst is when people are like, oh, what did you get? Oh, that looks so good. Ooh, I can smell it from over here. And I just look at them like, you know my face when that happens. I just look at them with a dead stare. Do you want some? Is that weird? Oh, no, I couldn't possibly. Please, it's your plate. No, see, if you want some, I hate when that game. That game. Thankfully, me and my friends are just like, here, we all pass the plates around. Yeah, you know, ya se acabó.
Pero luego like, cuando te piden y les das, and then you're just sitting there waiting to get from their food, and they don't offer, and they just keep eating, that's fucking worst.
It is and it isn't. Like, I am not expecting everybody to give me their food, because for example, if I go to a restaurant and I'm like, this is my favorite thing, I came here to get this one specific thing, and I don't want to share, I will be specific and be like, well, you should have ordered it, bitch, because this is my shit, okay? I will just say that. But if it's like, see, if we're at a fucking, you know, like family style Chinese restaurant or something, of course, have some of my fucking sweet meat. I don't care, you know, but it's case by case. It's case right. by case. We've already spent way too much time on this question. Next one.
Corny love song.
Oh my God. What's my favorite corny love song? Minnie Riperton. Loving you is easy because you're beautiful. That's a good one.
In Spanish, for me, is Cuando Abras los Ojos. La canta Jenny Rivera, pero también, I think the original one is Briseida y los, I don't remember the band. Remember they go into a whole thing like, renunciar a ti es como renunciar a la vida. That, and then in English, ya se me olvidó la canción, pero it was in a car commercial for a while. It's like, I guess you wonder where I've been. Oof, esa canción. I have it in my playlist. It's
oh
so
my God.
Good.
That I forgot to mention on my karaoke journey. That is actually my newest karaoke song. I can't believe I forgot.
I love it so much.
That song is by none other than Bobby Caldwell.
That's right.
What you won't do. Oh.
For love.
Do
yes.
for love. Hey, I got everything.
You know, okay. I was talking to Kirsten because I was telling her that this was like my guilty pleasure. She was like, you know, when we were kids, we really thought he was black. So when we find out that he was white,
same.
We feel fucking cheated. Because yes. that man has a black soul. It's like so mm-hmm. beautiful. And I went and started listening to his music. It's fucking gorgeous. It's so good.
Yeah, but he's in a fucking appropriator. Anyway,
yes.
I love that song. When he gets into it. Some mess, I love that part. Me. Okay, let's see. Reality okay. TV. Oh, sorry. You're. I'm sorry. I always take over because that's my personality.
So I love that they had numbers because Maury has come through, and this is question number 93.
Go ahead.
Reality TV show.
Oh, see, guilty pleasure though, because again, we got to remember guilty. Because the songs we mentioned, well, we're not going to go back to that. But
yeah.
reality TV shows that I'm guilty pleasure, guilty. You know what's really bad is that RuPaul's Drag Race Vegas review show is really bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Guilty pleasure. Pleasure. I don't get any pleasure from it. I just watch it so that I can listen to the recap shows. So let me think again. Reality TV show
that Survivor? It's not guilty. You don't feel guilty after watching that shit?
Not after season 13. Ooh. Fine asses. Oh my God. That season, I was in love with so many of the people on that show. It's like, it's just pleasure. I just got into season. That show, I got to do a whole episode on that show because. This last season, season 13 that I watched is Cook's Island, where they separated the tribes in the beginning by race.
Oh my God. You have how many fucking fucked up things there is it just in that sense?
It's really fucked up. But because I'm watching it, I've watched it from season one, I could see that the producers are learning their lessons as they go. So like the exotization of the tribal aspect of it has like gone way, way down. And they're focusing more on the storylines of the people. Mm-hmm. And now that they did that. So guess what happened? So in the beginning, for like the first quarter of the season, the tribes were separated by like the Caucasians, the Asians, the.
No mames.
Yeah, it was Asians, whites. black people and Latinx people, which most of the Latinos were Caribbean, which I thought was interesting. And so then, you know, like in the middle of the show, they all merged into two tribes and then eventually one tribe. And guess what? It was one of the most entertaining seasons ever because it was so diverse. And there wasn't a token black person or a token.
There's usually
a token Asian. Maybe a Latino, a gay, and then there's usually actually two black people, and then the rest are just like either racially ambiguous or white, right? And it's fucking boring because it's like the same people. That Cook's Island season was so entertaining because everybody had different personalities, different life experience, and then on top of it, it was racially diverse. So it was incredible to watch and very entertaining. And so I can tell on season 14 now, it's the most diverse season, but it's not about the fact that it's diverse. There's just like multiple Asians, multiple black people, because you know that I can already see the meeting at NBC or whatever, like, well, we can't have two Asian girls because everybody thinks they look the same. So, you know, like, I know that was the meetings prior to the Cook's Island season.
Because it's all about fucking aesthetics. It's so gross.
Yeah, but in season 14, I think there's like three Asian women, two Asian guys. It's like so many. I'm like, I've never seen this much Asian representation on a reality show. But because I think they learned their lesson from the race season kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. Anyway. Mine it's like I haven't watched.
Well, I haven't said my guilty pleasure. I actually like Survivor and I'm okay that people know that. My guilty pleasure was the old. I do feel kind of weird about those shows. Like when I used to watch The Hills, like those white girl shows.
But was that considered a reality show?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, then yes, that's a good one.
I mean, compared to now, they're all. The Hills was actually like the blueprint for like all the shows that are out now that are supposedly reality shows.
That's true. That's true. There was, oh my God, for a while, that's all I watched, like e-reality shows. It's so disgusting. I haven't watched a reality TV show, I'm going to say in 4 or 5 years, but I used to watch Big Brother religiously, like to the point that we got Showtime just so we can see After Hours. And it was nothing but just like live feed from what's going on in the house. So we will keep it in the background. Oh, thank God those days are over. We will keep it in the background and just watch people do nothing. Like nothing. There was nothing to it.
Yeah, I actually watch Celebrity Big Brother UK.
Con la New York?
No, I just because it's on YouTube, so I will watch it whenever there's a new season of it. The New York one I did watch. That was great.
That was so
good. Oh, my God. That was such a great scene where David Bowie died while the show was filming. But there was a guy.
I remember.
There was a guy named David that was in the cast. But then David Bowie's ex-wife was also on it. So she came in the room. She's like, David died. And New York was like, what? And she like went to his bed and like shook him, the David. She's like, he's alive. What are you talking about? She's like, David Bowie died. And she's like, oh, bitch, you crazy. And they started fighting. You had me thinking there was a dead man in this house. Oh, it's so funny. Okay, next one.
Guilty pleasure novela.
Oh, Lord.
Pues todas. No, there was one that I watched in grad school because I just had like three channels. It was called Juan el Escamoso.
I remember that one.
Yeah, I remember hating it, but I will watch it, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't really watch novella, so I don't know. Okay, chick flick / rom-com.
My guilty pleasure. Like, this is so bad. Like, it inspired me. And I'm like, it's Legally Blonde.
Oh, I love that movie.
It's like, especially the line where, like, I've been discriminated for being a blonde. Like, it's so bad.
So stupid.
But, like, I remember watching it the first time, and then I was like, I'm going to go to grad school. I can do this. Like, I was inspired by that shit. And my first day of grad school, yo tenía tantos nervios that I will be like, I will have a Legally Blonde moment where, like, you know, like in the scene where everybody pulls out their like laptops and she's with like her pen with feathers. I was so afraid that I was going to be that. So like I ordered my computer in advance so I wouldn't have to go through a Legally Blonde moment where like I didn't look like a serious professional student. That's how much I loved that movie. I haven't watched it in years, but I know if it's on, I'm just gonna, you know, I'm gonna love it. So that's for me. What about you?
Rom-com or chick flick? I'm a very sensitive person, so I try not to watch any movies like that because I'll just cry during the whole fucking movie. I don't even remember what the Silver Linings Playbook is about, but I remember I cried when I watched it. Pretty much any fucking rom-com, I'm ashamed that I... Chick flick? What would be a chick flick that I'm embarrassed that I watched?
I don't know, chick flick. I don't know.
I know. But, like, I guess anything with Katherine Heigl in it that I watched, that's really embarrassing. Okay.
Most embarrassing song on your iTunes.
Oh, my. Anything by Alaska, Thunderfuck. Because I love Alaska, so I, like, bought her albums when... I buy her albums when they come out. Or I have one of them, I think. And it's, like, A, you know, on the iTunes. So yeah. If my computer just starts playing songs randomly... It's like, your makeup is terrible, terrible, terrible. And people are like, what are you listening to? And I'm like, oh, yeah, sorry, it's my iTunes, just some gay shit. Like, her music is truly terrible, but it's like really my guilty bad pleasure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
We actually had this conversation this weekend, and I thought about it, and even in the most, what I would have thought it was the most embarrassing music... It's not. Like, there's, like, I like it, and I will even defend it for its badness, you know what I mean? Like, recently I start getting hardcore into Los Bukis, and you would have never catch me dead, like, listening, like, rocking out to Los Bukis in my car. But I love it, and there's some really good fucking albums, and, like, I know it's, like, basic, simple... Tia quinceañera music, but I love it. And that would be, if you would have asked me 10 years ago, that would have been like, hell no, you know, like I would have hid it. Pero no, la neta, no, I don't have anything embarrassing like that. I don't know. I don't think so. So I'm going to say nada.
There's a few songs on your Babalito's Abismo de Pasión playlist that I would argue.
Each one. And
I know you will.
I will defend every single one of them, girl. Okay, and finally, what are your guilty pleasures? Pero like, in terms of what? Like everything? Eating? Music? We just cover them.
Music for me, something that I truly feel guilty. I love Kanye West's music, and I've never said that before, but like all the old stuff, I love listening to it.
He was good.
Even Poopity Scoop or whatever, like I thought it was funny. I don't care. I'm saying this because this is a safe space, and I know that the listeners know me and won't judge me, but like on my Spotify, I will sometimes go into private mode and I will listen to like a Kanye West album or two. Cause I just, he's good. He's a good producer. Like
he's good. Yeah.
He's good. Do I support him and what he's doing?
No.
No. Also Azalea Banks.
Yeah.
I love her. I mean, I love her music. I don't love her, but...
Bitch, and live Azalea like, Banks, it's...
It's like oof. The gayish... It's just so gay. Like, anytime I hear it, I just like start dancing. I love it. It's great.
Yes, okay. It's
so
good.
That was a little racist. Calm down. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Anything else? So that's music. I'm trying to think of other things. Like, but I mean,
we did a whole episode about this years ago. On this, yeah. But I remember
it was called White Guilty Pleasures.
Ah, pues sí. It's still, for me, still minimalist. I just turned on PBS and there was a show on Robert Erdwin, which is like this old white minimalist artist. And I got my life. Like, I was just loving it. And so I still... You can show me.
I love
me
when you put
what?
You put letter D's in people's names for no reason.
Robert Erdwin.
You what said Erdwin.
Oh, I'm sorry, my accent. I'm not gonna apologize.
No, no, don't apologize. Put a D in it, bitch. That should be your motto. Put a D in it.
So I'm going to say to still, because like everything that I profess in the classroom is like, fuck aesthetics, fuck this, fuck that. And then take me to Marfa and I'm like, ooh, like I'm like solanging all over it. Like, I love it. I love it. I love it. So I'm going to say that.
Very guilty about is like I get a lot of pleasure in like what capitalism has ingrained in me, like, you know, like I feel like eating fast food or like going shopping. Honestly, this is gonna sound very privileged, but it's the truth. Like, something that I didn't know that I did is like, okay, we already discussed binge eating, but like also like binge shopping. Like, I would love to just like go to Target or go to IKEA or go to whatever store and just like pushing my cart around, going down every aisle. I don't really need anything, but I would just be like, oh, I'm gonna just shop.
I'm gonna browse.
I'm just gonna browse and I'm just gonna buy shit. And I would do that like maybe once every other month. And it was just like retail therapy, which I always felt really guilty about doing. So, you know, that's something. Okay. Thank you so much, Mari.
Thank you, Mari.
Arigato gozaimasu. Okay. Or if you want to get really... Domo arigato. Okay, so here we go. Chris V's letter. Did I tell you I used to know Japanese and I forgot?
Yes, we talked about this before.
Sometimes
yes.
It comes back. Sometimes it comes back. I'm not going to try to go back into it right now. But okay, some questions for the podcast. Oh, so Chris V sent me a physical letter. So oh, wow. He put some questions on the back of the letter. So here they are. Number one, how do you think the virus, all capitals, will mm-hmm. forever change aspects of the art world / academic world you are involved in, both for good and bad? ? And then number two, well, let's just answer this one first and then get into the other one.
Just quickly, in the academic world, and I talked... about this with Herman, this idea of mobility, right? Like, our idea of modernity is tied to that, that, oh, you, like, we travel a lot. It's, like, part of, like, our modern lives. But for academics, for instance, we don't need to go nowhere no more, because I actually have been doing so much more by doing Zoom talks and panels and podcasts and all of that that before they require traveling. So I think that's completely going to change some of the priorities when it comes to hiring somebody. Like I know, for instance, that you're going to be considered for tenure to get like life job, like a position for life in your university, they're going to rethink that, because before going into that conference was so ideal. And when they hire you, they need to give you money so you can do that travel. Not anymore. You can, like, half of that shit is going to continue to be online. Of course, nothing is going to replace the person-to-person interactions and all of that. But that is already changing the tenure track system. That's changing the conversations. There's the participation with my students, dude. Like, you have no idea, like, in the classroom, like, sometimes I struggle. Like, I feel like I have to perform and stuff to be able to get their attention. And now it's up to them. And the critical thinking that I'm, like, that I'm using to challenge these kids is coming back to me in much more effective ways than I ever have in my 11 or so years of teaching. So I think academia not only has been dead, but it's forever changed after COVID, at least, you know, and the art world as well. But I'll let you talk a little bit about that.
Hot takes on Latinos Who Lunch. Latinidad is dead and academia is dead. You heard it here first. Okay. Yeah, sticking to academia, because I do have a little bit of experience, because I work with universities here and there. I've taught at a couple, and it's very interesting now to see these old tenured professors that thought they were untouchable shaking in their fucking boots, because it turns out they don't even know how to turn on their fucking computer, you know?
And oh my God, I know.
I live for that because it's been a wake up call for a lot of these old, you know, fogies that. It's como mi abuela, you know, like, ay, mijo, yo no sirvo para nada, no me enseñes eso, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, when I'm trying to teach my grandma how to text, guess what? I was able to teach my 85-year-old grandma how to text message. So if you are in your 70s and you're in a 10-year position at a school, guess what, Mimi? You also can teach online, okay? You can figure it the fuck out.
Right.
And so I feel like it's been a wake-up call, and I feel like a lot of art departments, or I'm just going to say a lot of colleges in big universities, are seeing the true value of their faculty. And we talk about diversity and how it's a terrible, how it can be a terrible thing because, you know, it's just a matter of checking boxes. But there's also this thing about like all these professors that don't retire because they're just holding on to their tenure position when there's very qualified people with doctorate degrees ready to do the job 10 times better, but they're not hired because of ageism in academia, right?
Right.
And usually it's the other way around because, you know, people don't give a shit about old people, which is also fucked up. So I understand that, you know, there's a balance, but I'm talking about specifically these professors that treat people like shit because they're tenured and they think they're untouchable, pero ni saben cómo mandar un fucking email. Can I tell you, I'm at a place now, and I understand that these are sometimes very white supremacist values when it comes to me being picky about the way people email me and stuff. But if you are still emailing people and all you're doing is like, I get full emails from some people that are in the subject line of the email because they don't even know how to write a fucking email. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Like they won't even put it in the body of the actual email. The full three sentences will be the title of the email, and that's the email. And now I just email back and being like, what? Question mark? What are you talking about? And so this brings me to my next point about the art world. I think now that we're all been, you know, most of us have been ordered to stay at home or were for at least 3 months at the beginning of this. Judging by the conversations that I've had with several institutions, including universities, museums, galleries, I am now asking for money up front when I'm doing a project for the time that I spent doing administrative work like emails and proposals and things like that. For example, I'm not going to say the name of the museum, but this is actually the perfect example because it includes academia. So it's a museum at a university that I'm working with, uh-huh. And they have a very antiquated way of paying artists there. Like the only way they pay an artist is if there is a product and a contract, right? So like I have to sign a contract, they give me a deposit, and then I turn in the artwork that I'm making for them, and then they give me the rest of the money. You know, that's very standard.
Right.
But I asked them the question, like, well, we've been emailing back and forth for about 6 months now. I think I deserve a little bit of money for my time because there was a lot of brainstorming and proposals that happened during that time.
Yeah.
Can you throw me like at least $500 for that time? It doesn't equate the time. If we were talking about giving me minimum wage per hour spent, nowhere near what I deserve, but hey, maybe we should start talking about that. And their university was like, okay, let's figure this out. God bless the curator. She had to jump through hoops of fire and brimstone just to fucking make it happen and rewrite contracts and restructure the way that
es
the university,
pedote,
it's a
wey.
Whole pedo, right? And so, but now they're like, thank you for bringing this to our attention. Now when we start negotiations with a artist, now it's going to be easier because now the institution is thinking about the time spent on email. So if you are an arts administrator or a curator, or I know I just had a conversation with somebody at a museum today, shout out to you, Maria, and you're thinking about people and their time and the value of their time, remember that Zoom meetings, phone calls, emails, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth for months. That's fucking labor that artists never, ever, ever get paid for. It's just expected for us. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of institutions are hopefully waking up to that because they're having to do the same thing and actually paying us for our labor. Just because we're home doesn't mean we're not working. You know what I mean? Or just That's because right. we're not physically killing ourselves to make your institution look good, it doesn't mean we're not working. Okay. Next question. Why do you think so? That's how. So wait. Anyway. So to reiterate, those are like the good and bad things that are happening now because of the art world. Right. The bad things that are happening. I didn't mention that, girl. I don't want to see a virtual art show. Okay, leave that to yourself. Nobody's falling for it. Technically, I am in several virtual art shows right now. I don't mean those. Shout out to Poder Latinx. Everybody, go vote. Okay. So, but it's time for y'all to get creative. I'm calling you out, all you virtual. Nobody wants to see panel discussions anymore. Nobody wants to see virtual art shows. Get creative. Oh, you don't have any artists on your team. That's your bad. Let's talk about diversity there, right? Like,
right.
If you don't have creative people creating content for you, well, you're a bad boss. Hire people that are creative. Hello. Okay.
And that's the thing. Like, you have COVID and race reckoning in these institutions, and that's why the content they're putting, it's bullshit, because they're like too busy, you know, white tiering and trying to figure out who the fuck they are as an institution, that it's part of a colonial legacy, right? And and it's been super interesting. There was a I forgot the name of the artist, but there was an exhibition that just got canceled. And it's because it's this artist that does like abstract, not like figurative art, but he does a lot of like, I don't know the details, but he does a lot of things with like the hoods of the KKK and shit. So it's going to be a huge retrospective of his art. And it just got postponed, not canceled, but postponed. And this was like big museums like the Tate Modern and other museums. And they're like, we don't think we are bringing the right information and the right questions. Basically, they're like, we are inadequate to talk about race and we are going to spend more time thinking about this shit. The statement was so lame and the way that they did it. But again, not only they're trying to figure it out budgets, and this is not to give them the benefit of the doubt, because like museums are some of the most oppressive institutions out there. But there's a lot going on. You have the reckoning with their colonial legacies, reckoning with the lack of diversity in the top positions, and reckoning with the fact that you depend on the live experience. So when you don't have that, when you're thinking about all that shit, what do you have left? And the result is bad. It's like bad virtual museums. Like, you're right. It's time to get creative, because I feel like this is only practice for like worse shit that it's about to come, because ya nos acabamos el mundo and somos un desorden, you know? So like, we do need to get creative about the type of content we put out there. But anyway, next question.
Exactamente. Okay. Question two. Why do you think so many listeners, as evidenced by your listener letters, seek you two or your podcast for validation for their own Latinx identities? What can be done about the pervasive insecurity in our community? Wow.
That's a... Why do you think that? I don't know.
You know, that is true. I feel like a lot of listeners email us because it's kind of like what we were talking about a few months ago about white absolution, you know? Like, they're like, oh, I'm going to email this Latinos who launched.
Yeah, and they're cool enough. They can do it, yeah.
And they're going to agree with me, and then I'm going to feel better about myself. And sometimes we do, and a lot of times nowadays we don't. And I'm sure we've lost a lot of listeners because of that. But it's also because Latinidad is so complicated. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were arguing today. As I mentioned before, I'm taking Dr. Erica Abad's class on representation in the media. And we were having a discussion today about how some people don't consider you Latino unless you speak Spanish. Right. Which is wild. And so, like, there's a lot of listeners like that on our show that are just, you know, we get the same emails all the time. Like, hey, you know, I wasn't raised in a Latin American country. I was raised with a bunch of white people, and now I'm in college and I woke the fuck up or whatever, or joined Mecha or whatever. And now I, you know, I want to reconnect with my Aztec, Nahuatl, Olmec, Mayan roots or whatever the fuck. And, you know, I tattooed a tribal tramp stamp on me, and now I'm the wokest bitch burning down shit, right? Whatever. Whoever you are, having these, like, come to Jesus identity moments, and it's because people want to be accepted, and they want to be part of a group, and they want to make, and people, I think in people's heart of hearts, they want to be good. And a lot of the letter, I think the common theme in a lot of these letters are light-skinned and white Latinxes trying to separate themselves from whiteness, which is impossible.
Right.
And so my message is always like, bitch, you're white. Let's figure this out. Let's use our privilege that we don't want, but hey, we got it. Like, don't look at it as a bad thing. Look at it as like, oh, shit. Well, let me be a better person by acknowledging it. You know what I mean?
And I think this is also, and I'm glad you mentioned that you're taking the class, because this is an issue of representation. And that gets us at, like, every aspect. That's why we're like, I'm so burned out with representation in media. Like, I'm burned out, but I also recognize the importance of keeping these conversations. There was a report done by Define American and the Norman Lear Center at USC, and they were breaking down the numbers. And they were talking about, for instance, that the majority of characters with storylines related to immigration were Latinx. And this is like una encuesta que hicieron, ¿no? 60% were Latinx characters. And when overall the representation of Latinx characters is much, much lower. And then continues, and this is from an article in Variety. The most common storylines for immigration characters are about deportation, 29% of the episodes, with 25% from ICE, and discussions about being quote-unquote illegal or quote-unquote undocumented, 22% of episodes using the term illegal, 17% of the episodes using undocumented, and 63% of the characters with identifiable statuses overall being undocumented or asylum seekers. There's all this visibility when it comes to Latino representation now, but because, again, at the forefront of that representation, it's all this, like, light-skinned Latinos, because it's all about certain fantasies that these producing companies have about the Latino experience in Latin America, hashtag fucking narconovelas, and also in the United States, hashtag like crossing the border trauma. So when you are growing up in a household that does not fulfill the fantasies of what a Latino is supposed to be at, when you're not growing up eating fucking conchas and praying to Frida at night, right? When you don't necessarily have a carne asada every fucking weekend and stuff, and that's what you see represented, and that's what you hear people talking fucking podcasts and this and that, you think that culturally you're not that. You're not Latino. And that's why, to a certain degree, and especially because we talk about food, because food is like the perfect like excuse to begin these conversations, right? And we always say, like, do it in the table. I think it's because of that, because they grew up with a pressure of what supposedly is a Latino, what is supposed to be a Latino, and their reality is different. That doesn't mean that they are not fucking Latino. So every time I see a letter that says, oh, I didn't grow up Mexicano or didn't grow up Latino, I'm always like, what does that mean? If you go see, there's so many realities in Latin America that are probably wider than your reality in the United States. That's because, as you mentioned, Fabi, like, being Latino is so fucking nuanced and complicated, but tiene mucho que ver. The Hollywood representation is fucking so fucking dangerous. And even we're like, yes, we have Latino characters. When it comes down to the numbers, again, the report was published by Define American and the Norman Lear Center of the U.S. Go read it. It's online. That's when you realize you're like, oh, no wonder we're having fucking all this crisis or all this identity crisis, because we have to fulfill, what, 3-4 stereotypes about being Latino, and everybody else, from Afro-Latinx to the whitest of the whitest fucking Latino, gets, you know, out of the equation. And it's a fucking problem, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's so much. And I'm just going to say this. I'm trying to think of the most eloquent way to say this, but it's going to come out as offensive and probably not eloquent at all. So it'll be eloquent. to quote Michelle Visage, it always makes me very nervous when a visibly white person tells me or says out loud, like, I don't identify as white. They won't say I don't identify as white, but they, for example, like, they identify as Jewish, or like they identify as or they're so tied to their queerness, for example, as their main identity, or they try to be like, you know, I'm like 1/16th Cherokee, and then like have their hair in a braid all the time to prove it, kind of thing. Like, those white people make me so nervous, because it's this rejection of their privilege. Like, they're trying to, again, they're trying to absolve themselves of this white privilege and visually show you that they're a good white, you know? Those people always make me nervous, because it's a dismissal of their privilege in a way that is just, it's like, we live in the United States. I understand what you're doing is a protest and showing us that, like, okay, yes, Jewish history or whatever your identity, you know, it doesn't have to be Jewish, but this is just an example that I've been thinking of lately, because a Jewish friend of mine told me that they don't identify as white, and I gagged, because they look like one of the royals, you know? And so, like, it's like, okay, you look like Dennis the Menace, but you you look like fucking Leave It to Beaver. You look like fucking Casper the Friendly Ghost, okay, bitch? And you're like, I'm you know, 1/32nd Anasazi or whatever, you know? And I'm like, okay, yes, that is important. Of course, I'm not a fucking Spaniard conquistador. I'm not gonna ask for your fucking chart and your caste system or whatever. But it's like, in this world that we are right now, the white folks that I trust, that I surround myself, are people that are like, yeah, I'm white and my family's fucked up and I'm trying to be better. You know? It doesn't start with like, yes, I'm white. But my great, 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 great grandfather was an abolitionist, and I had a black girlfriend in high school, so I'm not racist. You know, yeah. I'm like, ugh, let me get out of here. Where can I go? Can I go? You know what I mean? So I feel like Latinidad, in a way, like, there's a lot of Latinos that don't identify with what Latinidad is shaped to be in media. So they feel like they have to, you know, they have to talk about Selena, and they have to eat conchas, and they have to paint their face during Day of the Dead to, like, hold that. Like, you don't have to do that. You're Latino no matter, you know what I mean? So,
right.
There's similar parallels there that, like, girl, I know you don't celebrate Day of the Dead. You started celebrating it after Coco because you're a fucking Disney-phile, you know? Like, you love Disney. Like, just be honest, okay? Like, what, you're gonna get a tattoo of the Mayan calendar? Bitch, you're from Durango. What are you talking about? There's no Mayans in Durango. You know, like, oh, girl. Anyway, did I make any sense?
It totally makes sense. It totally makes sense.
Okay. Well, our time is up, and we got through two emails. Thank you all for sending them our way. Oh my gosh. Again, you can email us at asklwlpod@gmail.com, and we will eventually get to your... We're almost there. We almost got through... We've been through a good bunch lately.
Yeah,
so
we're doing good. We're doing good.
We're doing great, everyone. Okay, let's take a little break, and we'll be right back. Oh my gosh, Babalito. Let's thank all of our madrinas today.
Let's do it.
We got a Patreon, and you can support us there. You could go to latinosforlunch.com/donate or go to patreon.com/latinosforlunch, and you can see all the categories and all the little perks that you get, bonus episodes, early episodes. Sometimes I just send random postcards to people. Babalito posts pics, and the interview you did with ¿cómo se llama el doctor?
Doctor...
Ignacio?
Perez. Ignacio, yes.
Yeah, you can see the live Zoom of that if you want to see those beautiful faces. You know, there's so many things on there. So we're going to start by thanking Jessica.
Jessie S.
Jennifer H.
Janet G. V.
Itzel S.
Indira H. E.
Hillary N. Namaste.
Gloria D.
Gabriela S.
Esteban C.
Erika M.
Erika T.
Emily W.
Eduardo V.
Dora P.
Dionis O.
Oh, yes. David R.
David E.
Dana G. B.
Daisy Z.
Daisy M.
Christian.
Hallelujah. Chris E. V. Oh, we just read his listener letter. Thank you for sending that, by the way.
KCP.
Caroline K.
Carlos M.
Karina R. P.
Aisha R.
Ayla R.
Arlene P.
Araceli L.
Annette R. I love you, girl.
Andrea Q. ABQ.
Andrea H.
Anna H. A.
Anna B.
Amarelis. Oh, didn't we read hers last
episode? Yes.
Wow. Look at our Patreon people sending us letters. Thank you.
Alonso R. R.
Oh, I follow them on Twitter. Alison R.
Ali N.
Alexandra N. Thank you so much to all of our madrinas, madrinos, and madrines. We love you. We really do. And we're back. Do you have any recommendations, Babs?
Yes, we're getting close to Halloween. And
this is Halloween.
And I have the best mix. The title of it's in Mixcloud. This is in Mixcloud. And this is...
Oh, come on, Mixcloud. Look at you. Buy your mixtape.
And this is a remix or a mixtape from one of the founders of the Chulita Vinyl Club. This is Sochi and her husband, Jorge, which we had here in the podcast. They have like a small collective where they release all this badass mixes. They're called Mira Mira. So if you go to Mixcloud and you look for Mira Mira, you'll find
them.
And the name of the mix is Trick O Tree, meaning trick with K /O/TRI. Trick O Tree. And this is an upload that features tracks from Paul Weber, King Kongo, and the Pink Monkey Birds, and much, much more. Creeping It Real with a very special mix for the spookiest of seasons, with an even more special guest adding tricky tracks from his collection, La Moda. So again, La Moda Juvenil, join them, Mira Mira, for this all vinyl mix that's sure to lift all your spirits and rattle your bones. I listened to it, dude. It's so good.
Yay.
It's like, it has that Chulita vinyl, like vintage cumbia to it, pero spooky, man. It's really, really good. Again, it's in Mixcloud. They're called Mira Mira, and it's Trico Tri. Check it out.
I love following them. Mixcloud is low key, very underrated because, I follow a lot of people on there that do really amazing playlists and stuff. So, definitely check that out. I'm going to recommend a podcast this time. It's called De Aquí y De Allá. Daida, our friend, Karen's podcast. It's a new one. Definitely check them out. Do you have a new podcast? Do you want to be mentioned on the show? Again, if we don't know you and you're like selling stuff and tagging us in it just to get more exposure, fuck you. Shout out to by the way. Anyway, I'm never going to buy anything from you guys. You're so fucking annoying. But I'm sure they have really great things. There's a couple other podcasts that I've had my eye on. Shout out to Swatch of Horrors, because I haven't listened to you yet, so I can't give you a full shout out. But I love the interaction that's happening online with a lot of different podcasts. And so I'm excited to kind of jump in, and I'm about to take some road trips, and I can't wait to catch up and discover new podcasts, because it's kind of hard for people to listen to podcasts if they're just used to listening to them in the car right now, you know. So definitely check out Daida Pod. And then I mentioned last episode that we will be talking about media representation when it comes to queer women and queer femmes with Dr. Erica Abad, who's been on before. And I think I misspoke. I said Jenny and the Phantoms. I think it's Julie and the Phantoms in one of the shows. So sorry about that. Jenny, Julie, same shit to me. But
oh, I also forgot. I recently found out from a student that one of my former students was inspired by Latinos Who Launched to start their own podcast. And they just are getting started. And I listened to the first episode and I was into it. Shout out to you. And I'm not going to give their name because, you know, they have their names and everything. But it's Chicx Who Chill. So that's Cheeks, C-H-I-C-X, apostrophe S, Who Chill. And listen to them. They're from Chicago. They're just getting started. But como me da gusto that my students are into it. And I think I know who it is, because I remember one time in class, a student kept looking at me and then typing in their computer, and they just look at me and they said, I know who you are. I know what you do. So I think that's who they are, but I don't know. I'll do my research later on. But I just wanted to give them a shout out, because it is so awesome to see that some people are getting their shit started because of us. So that's it.
Yes. And we will never get credit. Okay. So it's okay. Yes, definitely check those podcasts out. Remember, to all the new podcasters out there, you can do it. I know you thought it was going to be a lot easier than it is, but the statistic is most podcasts don't make it over 8 episodes. So if you've made it past 8 episodes, it's bienvenido a huge milestone. Yes, it's a great milestone. And you did it. Keep going. Because there's just so many amazing pods out there for whoever. I mean, I listen to podcasts about cults to podcasts about cheese. You know what I mean? There's so many different kinds of shows out there,
right,
for everybody. And so if you're sitting there right now and you're like, who cares about what I'm saying and what my friends want to talk about? You're probably right. But also,
there's an audience for everything.
There might be an audience for you, you know? Try something new, learn a new skill, and, you know, through your podcasting, you might discover a whole new world. Oh, my God. Okay, that's enough for me. Anything else, Babs?
That's it.
Okay. As always, you can visit us at latinoswholunch.com. Send your letters to asklwlpod@gmail.com. Rate us 5 stars.
5 estrellas solamente.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And visibility leads to representation.
And representation matters, cabrón.
I just went into robot mode. My bad. Today's episode was... Do you ever do that when you're driving?
Nope.
Oh my God, dude. Yesterday, I was going to drive to my friend's house to drop something off.
And you kept
and
driving.
I just drove to my old studio, just not even thinking. Oh, and I'm shit. Like, why am I here? I don't even have my keys. And it's just because I was just used to driving there every day.
I'm always thinking of like not trying to get killed, so I never ever do that.
I don't know. I just am a robot. I just drove there like without even thinking. Do I have one of those Elon Musk chips in my head already? I don't know. Dios mío. Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega, with production assistance by Maite Sosa. That's right, Maite of Cabronas y Chingonas podcast. The music you're listening to now is by the band Balloon. I'm Fabi Fav.
And this is Babbeliters.
Drink your Babbeliters of water. Bye.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.